Hello, everyone, and welcome to the inaugural episode of Tableside Chats. I'm your host, Kevin Taylor, and I'm joined by my partner in crime, David Randall. David, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm excited to get this project going. So basically, David and I have known each other for a couple years now. I covered him, I think it was in RenCon when I met you, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That was that final table. I remember that bad beat you had. But we're not here to talk about bad beats. We're here to talk about something that David is very passionate about. We were talking about some projects. We're hosting this on my website, pokerplayerlifestyle.com, and David had mentioned to me that he wanted to do a podcast-type situation, which is what we're doing now, as opposed to just some text articles. And David, I know that you mentioned the main thing you wanted to talk about with this project is the concept of a poker mentor. So if you just want to go into that and why you think it's so important and what you hope to get out of this podcast.
Yeah, definitely. I've been playing poker since 2005. I've been playing, I guess you could say professionally, since 2007. Mm-hmm. You know, I was still in college then, but I was playing over 40 hours a week. So it was my only source of income. So that, I guess you consider that professionally. But I've also, you know, been coaching since 2008. I've been making instructional video, and I've had a lot of private students. I've hosted 5 in-person camps. So I've seen a lot of poker careers play out. I've seen careers play out with a mentor, and then I've seen poker careers play out without a mentor. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about that is that I've actually never had a poker mentor myself.
Right.
Yeah, because I never have really, I've never met somebody that I really gelled with on that level, like personality-wise, experience-wise.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's like you have to meet someone that really, that you really click with. It's because it's a really important relationship. It's a very important relationship in your development.
Sure. Yeah.
So I guess what I'm going for in these actual entries, so to speak, is I want to kind of show people what the mentor process is like, because I've mentored a lot of players myself. Mm-hmm. And I want them to be able to listen to these entries and kind of just have something to someone to relate to, so that when they go through the actual struggles when they're grinding at the table and whatnot, you know, they don't feel like they're alone, so to speak. Like, for me, poker is a really lonely game. Like, when you're sitting at the table and you take a bad beat, or you're card dead, or you're feeling discouraged, there's really nobody there. Like, the people around you, they want you to feel that way, because that gives them an actual edge over you. So I feel like it's good to have someone in your corner that's actually behind you. And for me personally, I've never really had that, and I would say that it's definitely taken a negative toll on my career not having like a mentor. So I kind of want people to feel like I'm mentoring them a little bit through these entries. It's kind of what I'm going for.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you make some good points. I mean, it's funny how poker is such a swingy, emotional game, where you can have the highest of highs when you're, you know, at a final table competing for a big prize, or it could just be demoralizing at times when you get that close and then you have a really bad beat, or as you said, your car dead. And for a lot of people, I know myself included, I have this experience where it's tough. It's really tough to you know, just kind of power through this, especially as you said, if you're doing it alone. And, you know, of course, if you have poker friends, they understand the situation in general, but you're the only one who's actually going through that specific experience.
Right.
And so it's very difficult at times for you to be able to push through it. And I agree with you. I think that having someone who can be there, a mentor who's gone through similar situations and knows what it's like, can definitely help out a player, especially one who's just trying to start coming up into the world. Because it's a very, you know, you can hit your big score and all, but it's still a very tough thing to break into and be able to do consistently.
Yeah, I think that most people have poker friends, but poker friends only care about your actual experience to a point.
Right.
You know, like, they're going through their own struggle, their own situation. So they don't want to hear about your bad beats. They don't want to hear about you feeling discouraged.
Right.
They don't hear about these things because they're trying to deal with that themselves. So they can't handle you and themselves. Like they're you know, like they'll hear you out maybe because they're your friend, but they don't really care, and they're not really going to try to. They're not going to take an interest in helping you get through that.
Yeah, I can speak from experience on that. There's not much I hate more than bad beat stories, and I have a few friends who that's all they'll talk to me about. So I don't necessarily tune them out when they say that. I know when I should say, yeah, I know, I've been there before and all that stuff, but there's only so much that you can handle. Because like you said, everybody, you know, everybody has their own bad beat story. If we want to talk about bad beats, we could talk for 4 years and we'd just be depressed about the game, you know? But
right.
There's so much positive stuff that goes with the game to talk about. And I think that this is one of the most important things that we have here. So just to give you guys an idea, I mean, David kind of gave his background of poker, and I'll just give you guys mine as well for those who don't know me. Again, my name is Kevin Taylor, and I started playing poker in high school, I think same as everyone else, once Chris Moneymaker won the World Series and everything, and my brother and I started playing, and I think like David, I played online in college just, you know, to get by, and I guess technically, as you said, I was a professional, if you will, and I was really only making like $1,000 a week on a good month, if that, you know, and just playing kind of in my off time. And then after I graduated college, I tried to break into the sports broadcasting world. It's a very difficult field to break in, especially in the late 2000s when I graduated and the recession was hitting pretty hard. So I ended up getting a summer internship with PokerNews.com doing their WSOP coverage. And ever since then, I've been a tournament blogger, reporter, media consultant, any number of things that you can say. Right now I'm working at Commerce and Hustler, so in Los Angeles. So if you see the guy who's running around and grabbing all the chip counts and photos, that's me. So you might know me, even though you don't know my name specifically. But while I'm doing that, I play also in my off time. So poker's become a really big part of my life, whether I intended for it to be that case or not. That's the situation I'm in. And so, David and I were talking about this podcast and he got the idea that, in essence, he could essentially mentor me through these podcasts. And as he mentioned, you know, it would also help essentially mentor the listeners as well. So that's kind of where we got the idea for this, and we're both really excited about it. And we're going to be doing a few shows a month, I think, and maybe some more stuff when I'm out in Las Vegas this summer. But, so that's basically my background. And, David, if you want to go a little bit more into... go ahead.
That's kind of where I got the idea Tableside Chats from. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit of a history buff, so that was always my favorite subject in school.
Sure.
So I drew from the Fireside Chats that Franklin Delano Roosevelt gave during World War II. And they were talks that he gave through the radio that were directed to, like, the point of them was to keep the morale high in America during the war. And so obviously that was, like, a really tough time for America. So I guess that's kind of my actual goal, is to keep my listeners, to keep their morale high.
Sure.
So that was kind of the reference I was going for with that. And that, I think that speaks to what I'm going for here.
Yeah. So what you guys can expect from us over the next few months, we already have some ideas that we want to do, spend full shows on. Each show is probably going to be about 15 minutes or so, but, you know, David and I both love to talk, and so we might go on longer than that.
Yeah.
And we also might go off some tangents. We're both pretty big basketball fans, so if we talk a little bit about the playoffs, we apologize in advance, but it's an exciting time.
Yeah.
we're gonna do a full show really kind of breaking down, you know, why a mentor is so important and what you can expect from a mentor. Perhaps even if you're looking for one yourself, the kind of things you should look for in a poker player and
Absolutely.
Not necessarily just how good they are, because there's a lot of poker players that are some of the best players in the world, but they have trouble, you know, translating why they're so good into words, if that makes sense. Because a lot of, you know, you have some great poker minds.
Yeah.
Who know the game well, but might not necessarily be able to talk about it well. David, if you want to continue on that thought.
Yeah, I think there's another really important aspect there, though, that it's a mentor, in my mind, like, people think that a mentor is 90% show me how to play the game and 10% everything else.
Right.
from my perspective, I think a mentor is more 50% mentor me on how to play the game at most. Mm-hmm. And the other 50% is, you know, emotional control and someone to talk to and confide in and someone that can provide a roadmap for you. Mm-hmm. And those type, like the intangible type things.
Sure.
And I think that in order to find a mentor that will fit with you well, you have to find someone that, like, if you're looking for a mentor, you're looking for those things. Like, right. You might not even consciously realize it, but you are. Like, that is the goal of getting a mentor. And I think a lot of top players are so focused on their own game and their own progression, because they have to be able to get on the level that they're on,
right,
that they don't necessarily have the compassion and the interest in supporting someone else emotionally like that. Like, yeah, you can give them hands and they can tell you what they would do, but reality is there's hundreds of places where you can go over hands online. Like,
right.
You know, I made a instructional video for Pocket Five Training, aka Card Runners, and I mean, you could go on there and learn how to play the game, technically speaking.
Right.
You know, you can pay $20 a month and learn how to do that. But the other stuff is what makes a mentor so important, and a lot of the guys that are at the top don't have the energy for that.
Right.
And that's another thing that you really have to consider when trying to find the perfect fit. It's a hard thing to find. Like I said, I've been playing since 2005-ish, 2006, and I still haven't found a mentor that is a good fit for me.
Sure.
So, you know, a lot of these struggles I'm going to talk about are all going to be through personal experience, just of having to go through it myself and then having to take time to step back and reflect on it, and then I'm going to speak on it on these podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I always like to talk about with people, especially those maybe who are just getting into poker, and you know, because poker is a game that is full of mistakes. The best, Phil Ivey makes a mistake every time he has a lengthy session, a tournament. Everybody's going to make mistakes. The point is to learn from the mistakes. If you make the same mistakes over and over again, then you're just losing money and you're not getting any better, really. So I think a lot of times, a lot of people have trouble identifying the mistakes and improving on them. I think that's one of the big things. Whenever I make a wrong play or something, I always think about what I did wrong in the hand and how I can improve on it next time. And it's inevitable that I'll probably make the same mistake again at some point. It just happens. But if you don't learn from the mistakes, then you're never going to be able to, or you will get better, of course, the more you play, but you won't be able to get to that next level without understanding the mistakes that you've made. And I think having a mentor is one of the best parts about that. Not only fixing what you did in a specific hand, but how you went about the hand, your mindset going into the hand, that type of stuff, you know?
Yeah, and in addition to that, like, the big picture, like, what a lot of people, just a real simple example, a lot of people like to drink when they play poker.
Yeah.
That's a bad decision.
Sure. Yeah, for sure.
A lot of people, you know, another thing I've seen is that even grinders, a lot of times they'll ramp their hours up when they have emotional turmoil, because it's a sort of escape.
Sure.
But the problem is when you do that, now you're putting all your eggs in one basket, right? You're already emotionally in turmoil for whatever reason outside of poker. Mm-hmm. And now you're playing your session to get away from that, but if your session starts to kind of go south, your resilience is not going to be very high that day.
Right.
And a lot of times you can jumpstart a tilt cycle, boom, right there, just like that.
Yeah.
And that's something that if you had the awareness that, man, I don't really feel right today emotionally, you could have avoided that situation.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's and a lot of people will do that, and then they'll oh, man, I shouldn't have done that. And then they'll do it again, you know, and that's not learning from that actual mistake. Everyone makes mistakes mentally. Everyone gets into tilt cycles. I know I have hundreds of times, and I keep doing it, and it's a work in progress. It's something that you have to – that you strive for perfection, even though that's not really possible.
Yeah, it takes time. You know, it makes me think of – what was it? When poker was first big on the World Series – they said the game takes a minute to learn and a lifetime to master. And that's so true. And it's not even just talking about the cards and the strategy itself. It's talking about you know, every poker table that you get, you play at, is completely different from the other one. Even if you play against the same players, they're going to play differently against you based on how you played against them. So it's a game that you really can never fully grasp and understand, because there's just so many variables. There's a million variables that go into every session that you play. Yes. And I think a mentor is going to help you figure out as many of those as you can. Whoever figures out the more variables is going to be more successful in the long run. It's not necessarily about playing the perfect game, the perfect play every single time. You can, of course, strive to do that, but it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, and the variables range. I mean, it's everything from your opponent, how your opponent feels, what your opponent, you know, like what kind of mental frame he's in, mm-hmm. to, the specific action at the table. But then in addition to that, how you feel, because you're a human, you feel different every day.
Sure.
And that's going to affect the way you perceive a situation when in game. So if you're aware of it, you know, you can't control your feelings. Your feelings are going to be what they are. But if you're aware of them, then you can kind of gauge that. And if you're aware of your opponent's feelings, you can gauge that too. So that'll be a specific topic. We'll talk about it. You know, we'll need a whole podcast, one entry for that actual topic.
Yeah, I mean, just to give you guys a couple ideas of what's to come. As you mentioned, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to spend one talking about empowering yourself off the felt and things that you can do when you're not playing. I know that's one that David's really excited to talk about. There's also, we're going to talk specifically about, you know, spend some time specifically on situations like playing pocket pairs when you don't flop a set and what your best option is for that. Also talking about, if you're taking a shot at your first WPT or your first WSOP event, just some things that you should prepare yourself for and things you should do before, get yourself in the right mindset for it. Just stuff like that. And there's a lot more to come. So those are some of the things that we're going to talk about. David, is there anything else that you wanted to talk about with this intro podcast?
Yeah, one thing I wanted to add is...
Go for it.
We are going to be talking about some strategy. I do think that's important, just some general strategy.
Sure.
But as a mentor, my mentoring style personally is usually like 30% strategy, 70% other stuff,
mm-hmm.
preparation and the psychology of things. That's the stuff that stimulates me, and that's the stuff that people that I've mentored are drawn to me because of their interest in that. So there's going to be more discussion on that and a little bit of discussion on strategy. Like I said, strategy is something that's so easily found on the internet.
Right.
That you can just go, you know, you can go learn how to do different things, technically speaking, like I said, for like $20 a month on an instruction site.
Right.
So this is going to be something that's going to have a different focus than that. But we will talk about that a little bit. And I will say that I think these podcasts will probably be longer than 15 minutes, I think, because we both enjoy, we get into a rhythm, we enjoy, you know, talking and getting into that, they'll probably be more like 20 to 25, but yeah.
This one's just about hit 20 minutes, so I think we'll talk about that section. So we hope you guys are excited for this. I know we both certainly are. Like I said, we'll be coming at you guys probably a couple times a month on PokerPlayerLifestyle.com. Once again, this is Kevin Taylor. My partner, David Randall. Please stay tuned. We're going to have a lot of exciting content coming up, and we hope you guys enjoy it. So that's it for me for Tableside Chats. David, anything else, or are we good to go?
Guys, I just appreciate you taking, you know, 20 minutes out of your day to listen to.
Everyone's busy, so it's good that hopefully some people will be able to get some, you know, good information out of this, because that's what we're hoping to, you know, help everybody with their game and help you figure out this complex puzzle that is poker. So thank you guys for listening, and be sure to stay tuned. We got a lot more stuff coming up, so thanks again.
Yep.